It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Proud of us. We all went about 48 hours without a Caitlin Clark turmoil, controversy. Not that Caitlin's involved in any of this, but what she's kind of become a symbol for. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, which is a lot of different things. And not everyone views her through the same lens, right? So yesterday, Fever won, by the way. I watched the end of that
game.
No way.
How many did Caitlin have?
I don't know. I got to check. But she was good. And I have a small gripe with the WNBA right now, just the product on the floor. The last 5 minutes are just insufferably long. Like, you gotta, they've gotta get this faster.
I gotta tell you, and this is probably my fault as a viewer, my problem is the inconsistency of channel. Like,
One was online yesterday, so it's easy.
Oh, is that easy? That's easy. You know what's easy?
It was streaming on my phone.
You know what's easy? ESPN won. This was on the... Oh,
I don't know what they were showing.
You know, it's like, it's not the divisional round of the AFC playoffs on CBS. You're like, oh, this was online. It was streaming on my phone. Okay.
I clicked a button.
TV, but anyway,
I do because I can take it with me wherever I go. I didn't realize. Caitlin actually not great last night. Only 7 points, 3 for 11, 1 for 6 from three.
But they got a win. That's great.
They did get a win. She had 6 assists, 7 turnovers. Man, when I tuned in for the whole fourth quarter, she was playing some good defense. So, but shooting not so much. They do win 91-84. But again, as I said, congratulations us. We've all gone 48 hours without a Caitlin Clark controversy, but I think that's about to change. Caitlin Clark being asked some really pointed questions yesterday before the Fever had their game. Basically being asked, and this is, let's see, how do I want to set this up here? So this is a tweet that was sent from Dejanay Carrington, who plays for the Connecticut Sun. And she wrote on social media, "Dog, how can one not be bothered by their name being used to justify racism, bigotry, misogyny, xenophobia, homophobia, and the intersectionalities of them all is nuts. We all see this bleep. We all have a platform. We all have a voice, and they all hold weight. Silence is a luxury." So Perloff, you know, essentially saying that there are certain facets of this Caitlin Clark conversation that have been used by, I don't know, people who have an agenda to say that this is anti-white or that it's anti her being straight or whatever it is, right? There are fringe here that are using this in a way that's being called weaponizing Caitlin Clark to kind of have this sort of racist and especially homophobic and in some ways misogynistic. So here is Caitlin Clark. That's a doozy. She said she doesn't hear all of the discussion about her on a daily basis.
It's not something I can control, so you know, I don't put too much thought and time into thinking about things like that. And to be honest, I don't see a lot of it. Like I've said, like, basketball is my job. Like, everything on the outside, I can't control that, so I'm not going to spend time thinking about that. You know, people can talk about what they want to talk about, create conversations about, you know, whatever it is. But I think for myself, like, you know, I'm just here to play basketball. I'm here to have fun. I'm trying to help our team win. Obviously, we've won 3 games, and, you know, we feel like we've been in a position to win a few more than that. And, you know, my focus is on helping us do that. But I don't, you know, pay much mind to all of that, to be honest.
But I understand your focus. But I'm just curious, though, are you bothered that folks would attempt to weaponize your name in whatever fight they're fighting.
No, I don't see it. That's not where my focus is. My focus is here and on basketball, and that's where it needs to be, and that's where it has been, and I'm just trying to get better on a daily basis.
Okay, there's more. Caitlin Clark says it's disappointing that her name has been used for any kind of racism, misogyny, any of that.
I think it's disappointing. I think, everybody in our world, deserves the same amount of respect. The women in our league deserve the same amount of respect. So people should not be using my name to push those agendas. It's disappointing. It's not acceptable. This league is a league I grew up admiring and wanting to be a part of. Like, some of the women in this league were my biggest idols and role models growing up and helped me want to achieve this moment right here that I get to play in every single night. So just treating every single woman in this league with the same amount of respect, I think is just a basic human thing that everybody should do. Like, just be a kind person and treat them, how you would want to be treated. And I think it's, very simple.
Okay, so it's a lot there, and forgive because it's their practice. So this music is going, and people are bouncing basketballs, even though they're talking about some pretty serious topics.
Yeah, it's obviously very complicated, and I'm a little cautious even talking about this because I don't want anything to come off the wrong way. But it feels like already I noticed one double standard. Like, we credit NFL players, for example, a lot of men's sports are like, oh, he's so focused on winning and so focused on the team. That's the ultimate compliment. For a player, it feels like she's being criticized for not opening her eyes to stuff that's outside of the team. So her obvious counter is, all I care about is, what she keeps coming back to, all I care about is my team winning. And that is like, that seems to be like the ultimate thing we praise men for. And then for some reason, this women's college basketball and women's pro basketball now has been politicized. So how can you insult her? Where you would credit a quarterback for saying the same things would be like, oh, that's the guy I want. He's all about winning, like Tom Brady. And then we're criticizing for it. That seems like a bit of a double standard and unfair to her.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think you're right about that. But I also think that we want athletes, the one thing you don't want to tell an athlete, and I think that LeBron James made this very clear, is the shut up and dribble, right? Like that you can't use your platform or your voice to, get across anything you want, whether it's political, social issues, anything you want, right? So athletes, I think, have taken a lot of that, especially women athletes of color. I think a lot have carried a torch, especially during George Floyd and a lot of those reckonings. So I do understand it here. My thing about Caitlin, though, and about her addressing people who are attempting to use her story or her name to like as like a weapon, how can she fight that? Because it's like whack-a-mole, like, I think she's right here. You can't control what other people are going to say about you. She doesn't know what these political pundits are going to say, and if she comes out and say stop using my name, you think that's going to stop anybody?
That's a great point. What's she supposed to do?
I think that if somebody is intent on using Caitlin as a symbol to get across some kind of point, then they're going to use it, whether she likes it or not. And this is also something that we do to athletes. We ascribe qualities to them sometimes that we don't even, that they might not even have or might not even be right, And we look at them as symbols for things. And so I don't think there's anything she could really do to make, someone who says that if you're physical with Caitlin Clark, or if you're jealous of Caitlin Clark and her success, that means you're anti-white. There's nothing she's gonna be able to say that's gonna stop that person from using that as a rallying cry.
I totally agree with that. But here's my question, back to what you said about the shut up and dribble stuff with LeBron.
Yep.
So LeBron started speaking about political issues, and who is it who came
it's like
up
Laura
with
Ingram, I think?
Somebody, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Said shut up and dribble. So Caitlin's a bit of a different dynamic.
No, she's not doing that.
Yeah, she's not doing that. The shut up and dribble was like, I don't want to hear politics from an athlete. Is the inverse of that, the implication is every athlete has to talk about politics. Like, and so...
Well, that's Dejanay Carrington saying, how can you let this go
without standing up for it?
Right.
That's really
without
interesting.
Without calling it out. So now is it an expectation that you talk about politics?
Right. I mean, and I think in the 60s and 70s when Muhammad Ali was sort of the athlete, there was that expectation. So, man, that's a much deeper issue. Let's get Caitlin out. Does every athlete have to talk about politics? And I think the most popular take is no, like the athletes, like, you know, they're entertainers.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the personal choice here, right?
Yes,
it's like
if you
feel comfortable wading in these waters and, you know, you want to get involved, then that's totally, you're right. And
but Dejanay Carrington says that's not the way it is. Everybody should be in there.
Well, she's kind of saying Caitlin has a responsibility.
Right, because her name is being used.
Because her name is being used. It's thorny. I mean, I would just say, I don't think that anything Caitlin could say can stop people who want to use her for a symbol for what they want to use her for. Like, I know just specifically like Tommy Lauren or someone like that who's a commentator in that way. Caitlin Clark coming out and saying, please don't use my name in this way is not going to stop it. That's not going to stop it. So I don't know. Maybe you could say it as like just to show that you're not okay with this. But again, is that, does she have to do that? I don't know.
I actually do believe one thing she said. I don't think Caitlin's seeing this stuff because I'm not seeing a lot of this stuff. Like, I didn't know about Tommy Lauren. I didn't know about Dejanay Carrington. If she, she's, what, 13 games into her rookie season in the WNBA, I can understand there's a lot of distractions right now. I don't think she's getting hit with this every day. Maybe I'm naive. Like, she probably doesn't even know about some of this.
I can understand her wanting to have a little tunnel vision. I mean, a lot's coming at you. And the conversation is definitely different than the college conversation. Like, when we were talking about Caitlin in college, there was definitely some of that, like, great white hope type of thing.
Yeah.
But to this point, I think that it's gotten really magnified now that she's on the WNBA level.
Oh, definitely. And I think the sexuality question has become a much bigger issue in WNBA. These are tough waters. You know what kind of... Is it good that the WNBA coverage is now so politicized? I mean, it's the third rail. It really is. This actually started to remind me of the Colin Kaepernick story in a lot of ways.
Because it's crossed over into politics?
It's very difficult to talk about. It evokes a lot of energy in listeners. I'm not sure there's good and bad things out of that. Like, I kind of feel bad for Caitlin, but you're right. I don't think she has the right thing to say here. And I do think, like, she's had... Can you imagine, like, going from college basketball at Iowa, and all of a sudden you're in, like, this all-star league, and you have all this pressure on you? Like, she probably does have to focus on basketball in a crazy intense way.
Yeah, I think she's trying to navigate her way through. You know, at one point she was also asked about, like, you know, is the fact that she's kind of being used for a symbol, as a symbol, is it hurting her ability to develop relationships with other women in the league?
Yeah, Jim Trotter, I think, asked that question.
Yeah, Jim we love. I mean, Jim is the cream of the crop. Oh, we have that? Okay, here's this question from our pal, Jim Trotter.
You know, I think everybody in the league understands, you know, one, we're excited about all this attention we're getting. I think we're appreciative of it. I think the league has been great for a really long time. But, you know, my focus is on my teammates. Like, they've been amazing. I don't think it's impacted me making relationships on my team. You know, I'm not obviously talking to people on other teams on a daily basis. Like, I have so much to focus on here. And, you know, getting my teammates to trust me and do all that is my main focus. Same with our coaching staff and same with this organization.
Yeah, I listen, developing relationships with women in the league and other teams, like, that will come, you know, that will definitely come. I think it's a lot to ask this early in her career to be doing that. I actually think the Olympic team, and one of the reasons why I thought she should have been on the Olympic team, not one of the reasons, but one of the benefits of her being on the Olympic team could have been developing relationships with some of the most veteran, senior, and talented women in the WNBA. Maybe that's a good thing for them to all be away for a month doing training camps, playing together overseas, you know, having that bonding time, I thought could have been good, but this is not her responsibility.
Wait, why are you supposed to be friends with people on other teams? Like, that's like one of the worst things about modern sports is that they're all friends. Like, that sucks. I mean, is it good that LeBron is like openly closer to guys on other teams than his own team? Like, that's not a positive. Kobe wouldn't talk to anybody on another team until he got old. That's such a weird priority for an athlete. Like, right, aren't you supposed to hate the other team? Isn't that what good athletes do?
Yeah, maybe, but I also think there's an idea, because the WNBA is still growing, like, all leagues are still growing, but they really are, that this idea that, like, to have, for the stars to have relationships means they can move things, like,
really?
In a common goal, in a common direction.
Wait,
Wait, hold on one second. When like the lockout happened in basketball.
Yeah.
We were at those press conferences.
I was.
It was Kobe, it was Kevin Garnett, it was the stars of the league all kind of banding together. You have to have some kind of working relationship with the other labor. I'm not saying Caitlin does now.
But it's definitely
at some point,
definitely a negative for sports, right? Like
Russell and Will Chamberlain were friends.
They were rivals. Like, wait,
they had dinner together before every time
Bill
they
Russell
played.
Was manipulated. Did you ever hear about what Kevin Garnett would do to people on other teams?
Like, I know, but
he was a monster. He used to apparently try and torture Tim Duncan, torture him. Like, yes, like when guys hate it, you're supposed to have rivals and dislike the other team, not be buddy buddy.
No, making my point. Yeah. Those guys actually did have relationships behind the scenes. They did, and
that's fine.
And it didn't hurt the competition on the court at all.
But it's certainly not a priority of a sport. Is the like I don't know like so?
It's not a priority.
Caitlin Clark supposed to be friends with Diana Taurasi. Like, what does that do for anything?
I'm not saying that they have to be. I'm saying it might help. I do think the stars of the league, except for like a Jordan Isaiah situation where there really was some significant beef there.
Yeah, the peak of NBA awesomeness.
Derek Jeter and Nomar Garciaparra were eating dinner together at the height of Yankees Red Sox animosity, and they were still able to be incredibly competitive against each other.
That's true, but I mean, that is not a priority to me to have all the people in WNBA be friends. Like,
no.
It's to provide an awesome competitive product.
I never said priority, but I think the idea that there's like a backlash to her,
right, within the league. Yeah, that's a thing, right?
Being around. Everyone being around the veterans of the league, I'm not saying that anyone's going to play her less tough or not give her this rookie treatment, but maybe you do start developing some relationships because Caitlin's extremely important to the future of the league, the present and the future. So why not get to know some of these women?
I guess so, but does that really? Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a nice addition, but I don't see how that really strengthens the sport in a sense. I think the best part about the Caitlin Clark, like, it's been this rivalry with Angel Reese, and like, you know, kind of like took it like Angel Reese is like, yeah, we kind of like each other. Like, I'm a big fan. That kind of killed that storyline to a large degree. Like, I understand. I don't think it's a priority to have Caitlin Clark be buddy buddy with everybody. Like, rookies come in the league, like they go through the rookie treatment, and eventually they'll learn to respect her. It's just like kind of, I'm sure LeBron went through the same thing. I'm sure there were a ton of older guys who were like, I don't like this guy. And then he became a star, and like it happens. Like that's going to happen
naturally,
organically.
Right.
Yeah, there's no reason to force that. That is, to me, not a worry. Like Caitlin Clark will be fine amongst the league eventually.
855-212-4227. So that's a little of what's going on in Caitlin's world. Again, Fever did win last night, so got that going for you.
There you go. Are they getting close to the playoffs?
No.
They're better than the Washington team.
That's bad. But you got the big rematch coming up on Sunday. You mentioned.
Oh, Kennedy Carter.
Kennedy Carter, Angel Reese, Chicago Sky, Fever. This is like the shove that launched 1,000 opinions.
Yeah.
The rematch happens on Father's Day, Sunday at noon Eastern.
Are we all going to be disappointed if there's not some altercation?
What are you expecting? Like,
I want pro wrestling. Are you kidding me? I want off the top rope.
Speaking of Father's Day, get to that in just a moment. Maggie Perloff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. You guys know the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah.
Maggie's trying to order Wendy's now, and it's not going well.
Usually EJ's here to do this kind of thing if we need to order breakfast, but everyone got the taste of it because we're reading the ad for Wendy's, so now everyone's getting the craving.
$3 English muffin deal. Let's go.
I know. So now we're getting this big Wendy's order together, and I'm going to be honest, Pete, That is an all-timer. I've never heard this kind of order before. Like,
yeah, well,
hats off to you, man.
This is why you don't go down the nutrition facts road.
Pete
was
just
sitting right there, and I was like, oh, this is not good.
Pete just asked for this order. So we're getting the Wendy's breakfast order together, and Pete said, can I get the bacon, egg, and cheese without the egg or the cheese?
That's right.
I just want the bacon on a roll.
I hate you. I'm not even hungry anymore now.
It's a strong move to the hoop.
Wait,
I'm just going to put it that way.
I got to hear this again. Just play it again. I couldn't even understand.
It's an aggressive move to the hoop.
What did you order?
Pete asked for a bacon, egg, and cheese without the egg or the cheese. So you want bacon on a English muffin?
Yes, because I'm not a fan of the eggs.
Wow, the FBI is going to flag that order.
I mean, seriously, you're probably on all the lists already, but if you weren't, whatever was remaining has now been checked off.
Well, go scratch if you don't like it.
Listen,
my treat, I got it.
Thank you.
That sounds delicious. I'm not going to lie. I would totally eat one of these.
Bacon bread?
Well, they have all this cream and stuff. No offense to Wendy's. We love them.
Yeah.
We love them very
much. You want it the way you want it, though. But they're happy to accommodate you. So it's not morning, that.
Do you ever get a BLT minus an LT?
Right. Morning,
just give me a B.
I just want a B. That's it. Do I want?
Billy just walked out.
But actually, like, do you want mayo on the B?
No, I don't want. I just want B with other B.
Okay,
with B.
If
so
I may,
want a B and B.
The C is the unhealthy part. The
right,
E you don't like.
Right.
Oh, wait, the cheese is the it's about health?
No.
Okay.
Well, B is unhealthy, too.
That's what I'm saying.
We talked about belly bombs earlier.
Yeah.
I'm not really looking forward to having that right now.
Okay.
So
try to lighten it up by just putting the bacon on.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's an interesting strategy.
When you want to keep it lean, you just go bacon.
That's right.
Everyone knows that.
Well, we talked about the Atkins diet, so just, you know.
Right.
But there's a roll involved here, too, right?
No, it's English muffin.
Right.
Yeah,
that's,
and also,
not exactly,
with all those
exactly Atkins friendly.
Right. Also, a granola bar that you want too.
The egg and cheese are actually awesome for Atkins. The English muffin, no.
Actually, you know what? Can you take off the nooks?
Yeah, I'll try.
Just the crannies.
I
have bacon on crannies, please.
Yes. And this order,
a B&C.
This order will arrive in 4 hours.
Should have quit.
Yeah.
They'll cancel the order out of spite. They're like, I'm not doing this.
Just to throw our bag of food into the ocean.
You know, in Harry Met Sally, when Meg Ryan has the crazy orders, this is a new trend. Like, I'm going to have, a Cobb salad minus the chicken, the bacon, the cheese, and the eggs. And
lettuce.
Just want a bowl of lettuce.
Give me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but hold the peanut butter and the jelly.
Yeah.
That's what these places get. They have the apps that have all this adjustment.
We are in a make it my way society now. You know, if you can't get it adjusted and everywhere, I show up sometimes to restaurants and they'll volunteer, does anyone have a food allergy and would like it prepared a different way? It's like, I don't even know why you'd ask that. If I have a food allergy, I'm definitely telling you about it. So why even volunteer the info?
Right. But I think what Pete's doing is taking it to another degree. It's like, I have a pepperoni pizza minus the pepperoni and the cheese. Like, this is just doesn't make any sense.
If there was an option for just bacon and an English muffin, then that would be, it would save me time.
You know why that doesn't exist? Because nobody wants that, Pete.
No. There's an option for a sausage biscuit all the time, wherever you go. It's just sausage and a biscuit. It should have bacon and a biscuit.
Because sausage is in patty form, so it's like getting a hamburger, a plain hamburger.
That
nobody puts
matter.
Bacon on its own between bread and eats it willingly, you maniac. Like, I don't even want to order to be associated with this order.
Bogus, first of all, why are you? There's no sausage biscuits out there either. I don't know what this is.
Yes, there is.
No, I will vouch for Pete. They do have sausage biscuits.
Yeah. You just got to get out more, Pearl.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
you're not a breakfast person.
So there's nothing on it. It's just a biscuit and sausage?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Well, that sounds good.
You want one? Hey, it's on the menu.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. We're setting a trend. You got to change your menu. Watch.
They should name it after you.
So, and they don't put any sauce on this?
No, I don't want any sauce.
No, I unchecked all those boxes. I
just want bacon and an English muffin. No notes.
Meanwhile, listen.
You've been married twice. And you
part of the reason.
Only once for me, and you order that?
Part of the reason. Wow. That was a shot.
There's no nooks, by the way. Just crannies on the muffin.
She had,
it's like, why'd you guys break up?
That's why the first one bailed.
She was a nooks person, and I'm a crannies person. It was never going to work.
It's oil and water.
She's walking down the aisle. I'm like, can I make it work with a nooks person? This is a big mistake.
She was walking down the aisle with an attorney.
Is that her father? No, it's her lawyer.
Oh, no.
Wow.
She was pre-divorced.
You didn't do a prenup. You did a pre-divorce.
Why are there documents here?
It's like, all right, we're going to cut the cake out. What's the point? It's going to be over in 2 months anyway. I love that. Just get it all out on the table. Why the charade? It's like Danny Hurley saying it wasn't about the money. Of course it was about the money.
Why is there a red pen right by the Bible?
Again, a la carte. I would only like Corinthians 1, but 2, that's going to be a no for me.
That's right.
All right. Well, two's speaking extra. Of Father's Day.
Speaking of
fun, what a segue.
Okay.
Listen, I'm a professional. I'm curious because you guys can do a little market research for me, especially Bilotti, Bogish, and Pearl. Carlos, no kids you know of, right?
Not yet.
Okay. The best and worst Father's Day gifts you've ever received. Can we think about that? And not worst, I'm saying. Like the overwhelming and underwhelming. Just a little market research for everyone else out there who needs to buy a father a gift.
I honestly do not remember a single Father's Day present I've ever gotten in my entire life.
That's actually good.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, my family sucks. What's going on here?
Just forgettable gifts.
Forgettable. I think I got a Starbucks card last year.
Is that right? You love coffee.
Yeah, no, so that's good. I get gift cards occasionally, a card. I don't get much. So what the best, I would like... was it when the kids were young? Time was the most important thing.
Yes.
I just wanted to sit on the couch and watch sports.
Right.
That's all I wanted. That's the most important thing.
Alone
that,
time.
That is my best gift, and I have gotten that many times.
Okay.
And cut that last part out of the podcast.
Sure, right on top of that.
They're all still asleep. It's cool.
But unfortunately, I don't have like a material item that I can point to.
Okay. Bogish, anything memorable?
Well, I was going to say the same thing. I can't remember a bad one, not because my family sucks, but because my wife is very good at giving gifts. I also am a sucker for anything... like from school, the little, like, you know, my dad is this sheets, like anything that confirms that my kid thought about me for 5 minutes and knows something about me. Love it.
Okay. I go back. I forgot. I got a Dadalorian off Mandalorian t-shirt 2 years ago and I treasure it. I'd frame it if I could. I should have worn that today. Oh man. The Dadalorian t-shirt meant a lot to me. Bogus nailed it right there. Anything that says number one dad, it's easy, Maggie, and it's cheesy, and it works.
Okay. Yep. Wow. Number one dad, Pete, any good or bad?
Bacon.
I like the thought.
Bacon on a sandwich.
Bacon on a slab, please. No, thoughtful gifts.
Right.
Stuff that's from the heart. I like that the most.
And sodium.
And processed
cash,
food.
Too. You want to give us some cash, I'll take that, too.
And cash from the kids. Yeah. Break the piggy bank, kiddo.
Cash.
So, roll quarters.
This is a 20.
At time,
love you, Dad.
It's about a bouncer tip.
I'm going to at least have 20 minutes of being able to meditate in the morning. That's right. Another thing. But the negative...
Wait. Pause.
I was kidding about that. But the bacon on a slab, I want.
That's a form of meditation.
Too. So,
and cash.
The worst
is the best answer I've ever heard.
The worst gift is if someone is annoying that's in your life that pops up around that day.
Hey,
I don't
want
to deal with that.
Bogus is going to ring your doorbell at 7 a.m.
I'm getting emotional thinking of Pete's kid breaking the piggy bank. Daddy, here's the $8 I earned delivering papers. My last $8.
Just grabs it out of the hand.
It's for you. Please go buy a bacon on a muffin.
Get yourself two. You're such a good dad.
Would you like one as well?
Daddy, I know it's all nickels and dimes, but I know how much you love bacon on bread.
The best is if he just took it out of your wallet 5 minutes before and just like recycled it. It's like, here's a 10, maybe a couple fives in here, 20.
I will say, though, the best gift I ever got was last year. It was right after my daughter was born, and they did the shirts, the I Love Daddy shirts.
Oh, okay.
That was the best gift I ever got.
I love that.
Ever.
Number one dad.
Loved him to death.
So this newborn had a big role in this. It sounds like your wife did that.
She was on Amazon ordering
She was
with her little fingers.
Oh, wow. She was at least like 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
Already got an Amazon account.
That's right.
You never get like a number 4 dad t-shirt either. Like that would be bad. Yeah, yeah.
Top 10 dad.
Yeah.
Like Letterman did it. When Letterman did the billboards that he was the number 3 rated show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, after Hugh Grant did the famous interview with Jay Leno, he said he's the number 3 in late night. Actually, Eric Stengel came on the show and told us that whole story, the former showrunner.
That would be awesome, though, if your kid gave you number 4 dad or something.
Yeah. You're the Kevin Durant of Dylan.
Bill down the street, now that's a dad. Yeah. He's good. I mean, listen, there's no shame in not being Bill. Maggie, you take that advice, by the way.
I'm writing this all down.
Rank your husband number 1. It means a lot.
Thanks for the sage wisdom.
Yeah. When you have the dad power rankings that you put out every week,
got to put an internal.
Like Craig T. Nelson, my two dads, Reginald Vell Johnson. Like, am I going sitcom dads? And then all of a sudden, here comes
Or
my dad Andy.
Throw him in there.
Is it like Dion, who has family rankings and like?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So definitely put Andy number 1. That's a good idea.
Antonio Cromartie's there too.
He gets so many gifts. He must get so many gifts
like
on
Christmas
Sunday
for him on Father's
that
Day.
Is.
She got ID cards from his kids.
So
he can't remember their names.
Name tags.
Introductions.
Oh, my name is.
He claims that video was doctored. I'm like, I don't think so.
I mean, what's you can doctored? Watch it. There's no jump cuts.
That was not AI. That was 13 years ago.
That was him trying to name his kids all on camera. And needed a couple chances.
That was a Hard Knocks episode, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Oh.
I feel like Carlos should be able to weigh in here, even though he doesn't have kids.
No, I'm good. I'm all out.
Yeah.
What are you doing on Sunday? Just hanging?
I'll be working overnight with David Shepard. So that's a gift in itself, I guess.
That's a Father's Day gift right there.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Can I just say, for not having kids.
I feel like we've learned something here. Me, Pete, and Bogus are just gigantic softies. Like, you could get off for cheap. By playing on the heartstring.
Cheap. Pete's asking for cash.
And bacon and bread.
I'm not asking for cash.
You're suggesting
I would love to have it. That's all I'm saying.
Here's $11.
I'm demanding it.
Pete's ideal Father's Day morning. Wake up, 20-minute Zen meditation, apparently, followed by, Daddy, here's a Finsky, followed by a bacon muffin. That's everybody's favorite Father's Day.
Honestly, I mean,
I'm all yours.
They have a better day. You know, 9 holes of golfing? All right.
Bose's reaction when Pete threw it, give me 20 minutes to meditate. I swear to God, he threw his headphones down. He's like, this...
You don't know about Pete's meditation closet?
It's amazing. You know, how long have you guys known each other?
2012.
Yes. And can he still surprise you?
Every day. I mean, he said Tom Glavine's brain on Wednesday, and then just in this segment gave us a dry bacon sandwich, meditation, and can I get cash for a Father's Day?
I'm going to amend that, though.
And it's only 7:36.
I'm going to amend it. I'm going to say Greg Max instead of Tom Glavine.
It's too late.
You know, I've been thinking about that all week at home. I was wondering, like, who is really more cerebral, Maddox or Glavine?
What you take home from the show is a real doozy.
It's 95% Pete. I was just going to not lie to you guys.
When you're home actually meditating, it's all just visions of Pete coming through.
I will text people about what Pete said.
Why is everyone screaming, why? What's going on?
We have a little surprise related to Tom Glavine's brain later in the show for you, Pete, too.
Yeah, and apparently we have a surprise also from Carlos that our name came up. Surprise, our ears weren't ringing on Zach Gelb's show yesterday. Bogus has headlines, though. Hello.
Hello, guys, again. We are on the verge of sweeps in the NBA and on ice. Now, the good news for the Oilers, a 3-0 comeback has happened before in the NHL. 4 times total, once in the Stanley Cup final.
Edmonton, I like a tight ass.
Head coach Chris Knobloch says there's definitely a path back into this series.
I think there's a lot of belief in that. It's not like we're getting outplayed and we're just, that team's better than us. I don't think there's anything that I need to say to the team and convince them otherwise.
His team was down 4-1 entering the third period last night. Scored twice, missed in some great chances late, and lost 4-3 to fall into this 0-3 hole. Alexander Barkov, a goal and an assist for the Panthers, who can win the first cup in team history tomorrow night. In the NBA, Kyrie, as philosophical as ever, facing elimination tonight in Game 4 with the Celtics.
As a competitor, as a hooper, To be experiencing at this level is an incredible teacher for me. I use it as a moment to learn, you know, how hard it is to win.
All right, a question for the basketball-playing Perloff and the cooler Carlos. Can you begin a sentence with, as a hooper?
Oh, if you're Kyrie Irving, yes. If you're me, no.
Okay.
That's self-aware.
Yeah. By the way, Kyrie, it's ridiculous how good his answers are during this whole fight. Like, this can't be the real Kyrie. Like, his answers are, it's almost textbook. He said the perfect thing in every interview for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, we talk about Father's Day gifts. I want him eliminated from my Father's Day gifts.
Well, you might get that.
He has a knack. Like, when he wants to say the right thing, man, he delivers that line. Like, he always says the right thing, Pete.
Well, great, wonderful.
He doesn't always say the right thing, but when he wants to.
No, right.
He knows how to be very insightful, non-controversial. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing.
And it's the way he says, it's his delivery, it's his energy, his tone, his pacing. I mean, honestly, like or dislike him, he would be an unbelievable color commentator.
That's a retiring his jersey, right?
Yeah.
Into the dumpster.
I mean, Kyrie.
No,
if Kyrie
the
won,
Cavs might.
That won't happen either. Bogus,
you're not wrong.
Yeah,
you're not. And we also we have short memories. We forgive things. We move on. So at some point, Kyrie probably will be back in everyone's good graces.
I mean,
not exactly like A-Rod, but it feels like A-Rod. Like A-Rod was, you know, all of the stuff with cheating, and now he's. Whether he's good or not, people want him on baseball broadcasts and whatever. So, I mean, like...
Yeah, I mean, Randy...
He was the baseball face for two different networks at one point after being suspended for a year.
Yeah, Randy Moss had some problems as a player. Remember that thing with the cop in Minnesota? And now he's a beloved broadcaster. So, I just think... Now, that be said, Kyrie is complicated.
I just can't imagine he would want to do that. It seems like everything he says, it's all about other causes. You know, like, I think he would be more likely to go into politics than he would broadcasting.
Really? Yeah, but, you know, once you retire, though, some of that energy changes. There are a lot of guys who weren't fans of the media then got into the media.
No, I'm saying, like, he's always talking about Native American causes and, you know, other things. I think...
Right, but is that going to be a full-time job for him? Mm-hmm. I mean, why would he turn down money from one of these nine streamers who carrying the NBA? I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you can do both.
Yeah, I think you can do both. I know what you're saying.
I can see him traveling the world, you know, just sort of being a philanthropist.
I mean, would you have seen Tom Brady becoming Fox's number one broadcaster?
I still don't know why he's doing that.
Yeah, so...
because the money. The money is why he's doing
it. Also, too, you need a job. Once you retire playing basketball, you need the structure of a 9-to-5 job, and I think that's attractive to most former athletes, so... And when he wants to say the right thing, he can say the right thing.
That is true, you know,
as a hooper like me.
Yeah, as a hooper.
Not a cool thing to say.
You know who can really say that? Former Falcons tight end Austin Hooper and his entire family.
Tip off in Dallas
his entire family.
Is shortly after.
Mr. Hooper from Sesame Street.
8:30.
Thank you.
Eastern, the Celtics are
Dads
listing.
Dads unite.
Kristaps Porzingis and his foot injury is questionable. Conor McGregor is officially out of UFC 303 in Vegas in 2 weeks because of injury. It is the first time he's ever had to back out of a UFC event. UFC could not find a true new main event, so it's adding two lesser fights to the card, bumping up some others in importance.
Shocker that Conor out in the club, that this fight was not going to happen.
Is that the backstory? I just know that this has been brewing for a while, apparently.
Wait, I saw the video. What's the connection here? I saw him in the club making out.
Didn't seem like he was training all that hard, is what I'm saying.
Whoa. Yeah, but you could be in the club partying and training, no?
That's right.
Train during the day, club
you think
at night?
You think that everybody who's training isn't going out to the club? Boxers?
Fight camps are generally way more low-key.
Yeah, those clubs with giant octagons that are training.
No, it doesn't work.
Wait,
like
how
that.
Far away was he from the fight when he was caught in the club?
Like 5 weeks out.
You telling me boxers are shutting it down 5 weeks out? I don't know. It's Conor McGregor. As a hooper, I can tell you right now.
It's where you guys started the show. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars agreeing to a 5-year extension with a max value of $275 million, with Lawrence still having 2 years left on his rookie deal. He is now the sixth QB with an annual average value over $50 million and the ninth guaranteed more than $100 million. Purple Rain, last night at Target Field.
As this ball hit high in the air to deep left field, Carlos Correa says, "We don't need all singles." Home run into the second deck. And the Twins lead 6-2.
The actual home run on Twins Radio doesn't matter. It did cap off a 6-2 win over the A's, but it was Prince night in Minneapolis. So Correa went back to the dugout, put on a purple vest and hat, and played a purple blow-up guitar.
I saw that.
For the dugout camera.
That's fun.
I wasn't sure if this was like their thing. You know, home run celebrations, whether it's, the blazer for the Toronto Blue Jays, or that interesting hat, like helmet for Shohei.
The Mariners have a trident in Seattle.
So it's getting a little nuts.
I do have the backstory on this.
Okay.
So this was Prince night last night, but the purple vest predated Prince night. It was supposed to be their part of their new celebration when the year began, but for some reason the vest did not get to them right away. So then they were using a home run sausage, which created a whole...
Using it how?
That was my point. It created a cottage industry of jokes and innuendo, this home run sausage in the Twins dugout. So they decided to wait. They let that play out. Prince night came, was the perfect place to get the vest into the rotation. So this began last night, and it will continue as their celebration.
These things need to be a little more organic. Like, ever since the Miami Hurricanes turnover chain, everyone's been looking for a thing, and now we're forcing it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's lame. But thank you, Bogish. All right, 855-212-4227. Coming up, history could be made tonight. I'll tell you what. In honor of Prince night in Minnesota. Tonight, Perloff, could have been a history. Boston Celtics going for number 18, title number 18. Mm-hmm. It could be a sweep. Here is Jason Tatum on whether this team could be considered one of the great Celtic teams.
Obviously, it'd be cool enough to hang an 18th banner. I get that's the bigger thing, but there's never been a Celtic team ever with a better playoff record than what you guys have to this point. The 86 team went 82-18. You guys could be two games away from that as like the second best Celtic team ever in terms of record. How much more would that add to it when you think of all that this franchise has done? You guys could be at the top of a whole lot of lists in that record book.
I didn't know that. That would be really cool. But, you know, you guys probably would say we didn't play anybody to get here. So we just have to do it again next year.
Right. So there's Jason Tatum, a clear understanding of what this media landscape is, right? Because he's 100% correct. This is not his first rodeo.
Such a good answer.
But you know what? This is a big deal for Tatum and Brown and for the Celtics. I know it's the 18th and it's another Celtics title, but the amount of pressure on these guys this year to actually be the best team in the NBA and then to be this juggernaut in the playoffs, like, this matters. This is a big deal.
Well, of course, and of course, on the surface, it's a big deal. Like, I'm not saying that, but it's not, when you think of NBA history, this will be the sixth champion in 6 years. We are in the one-off era of NBA champions. And if this is a one-off, which honestly, recent history tells you it will be, it's much more likely they will not win it next year, then I do not think it's in the same discussion of the 80s Celtics. Like, I think that's sort of the point that critics would make is like, yes, this is going to be just kind of like the Bucks title a couple of years ago, which was big, but is not big in the NBA historical sense.
Okay, but what did that do for Giannis?
It did a lot. Yeah,
it validated him.
Right, but like, you know, you're looking back 50 years at NBA history, like, you're not talking about the 2021 Bucks. You're talking about the 80s Celtics.
I'm going to be honest, we don't really talk about teams anymore when it comes to the NBA.
Well, because there's no dynasties. Well, you talked about the Warriors.
I know, we did talk about the Warriors, but did we talk about Steph Curry's legacy? And we talked more about Durant and Draymond and the relationship and all of that. I don't know if it's so much about teams anymore as it's just about the individual legacies and accolades. And I think that's what Tatum's kind of understanding here.
But that's I disagree a little bit, because I think if you had a dynasty, you do talk about the Warriors. It's not Steph, it's the Warriors.
Okay,
it was not Celtics, it was Larry Bird. I mean, it wasn't Larry Bird, it was Celtics. And even with the Bulls, it's the 90s Bulls. You know, like, we know that. But we know, but you say 90s Bulls, everyone knows what you mean. Like, it's still like, I don't think like that really was like, oh, remember the Steph Curry era? It was the Warriors. It was the system, and there was a lot going on. I just think this could, they really do. I'm sorry, Jason, you're right. You have to go on a run here, or people are going to put you just like with all the modern champions.
Yeah, I disagree. I do think it makes a difference to finally get over the mountaintop for these guys. I do. And they're all great players. They all get paid a ton. Like, there's a lot there. But like, we look at Giannis differently. We look at Jokic differently. We look at these guys who get a lot of accolades and, quite frankly, make a ton of money. and whether or not they actually can win. And I think what it's going to do for Jason Tatum and maybe even more importantly, Jaylen Brown, but definitely for both of them, it's going to do the opposite with Luka. And now Luka's going to be the guy who the pressure goes on you. And can you be this great player? I think Joel Embiid probably feels a lot of that. Can you be this great player and be worthy of all of our, you know, attention, respect, all that stuff if you've never won a title in this sport where it doesn't feel unfair to put expectations on one person to get something done?
But that was not the question that Jason Tatum was answering. It's not what does this do for you. It was what does, you know, what do people, are people going to say about this team out of the 18 titles? Is this a significant Celtics team?
Okay,
that's the question.
Well, I'll answer that. I think 2008 was pretty significant for the Celtics because it had been a major drought since the 80s. And then Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen came along. And that, to Celtics fans, and I think to the greater NBA, really did mean a lot and does stand out as a great team.
Right, but that, the, again, he wasn't asking about the 2008 Celtics. He was asking about this team.
No, but I'm saying, you're saying a one-off can't do anything, and I just gave you an example of 2008. That team is memorable.
I know, you're right, but this team, though, is a little different. They got through such an easy road. You know Tatum was talking about something that, like, perception-wise, I do think even with a title, people are going to be like, yeah, but. You know how people put asterisks on titles.
No, you're doing it with them.
You know that people are going to look at this and there's going to be a lot of yeah, buttism down the road.
That is so unfair. 855-212-4227. All right, Maggie Perloff, coming up, we do have an explanation. Why would anyone say no to the Lakers? Find out next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.